You could have been a supporter of any football team. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. You could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me, and that's the town where I come from. In Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley.
Hello everyone and welcome back to Ravens Weekly.
Wembley!
I knew that was coming. We're now on episode 109. Thank you to all of you for joining us once again today. And as Jeff just mentioned there, that the voice of Jeff Hutton, there's a little game coming up at Wembley Stadium that we're going to be talking a bit about in today's episode. Jeff, how are we doing this week?
Very well, very well.
Everyone excited about Wembley, I'm sure. We're going to start by looking back at last Saturday and a great day, Jeff, for the Community Sports Trust in the Glades.
Yeah, absolutely brilliant, Matt. Like you say, it's been a fantastic week, really. It's strange. It feels like the game's tomorrow. I know we're recording this on Friday, but you're so used to that Friday feeling ahead of a Saturday game. Tomorrow's going to be quite odd. But like you say, Matt, last Saturday we were in the Glades and we had the Community Sports Trust in there. We're doing our little roadshow. And obviously we had a lot of the Wembley items up there. And I must admit, out of all of the people that kept on coming up saying hello and having a go on the football inflatable, everyone had a ticket. Everyone I spoke to that came up and said, oh my God, we're coming on Sunday, can't wait for it. It was so good to see. It was absolutely brilliant. And like you say, in terms of the families and the kids that came up, it was great. I was saying to Andrea, we had more girls than boys take part in that football inflatable in that shootout. You know, I really feel like there's a lot of energy around that at the moment. And it was great to sort of see a very small pocket or a small example of that just in our own, you know, day at the Glades. But yeah, it was fantastic. So many people coming up to them. And honestly, nearly everyone that I spoke to had a ticket, other than the Barnet fan that came up.
Yeah,
which is quite funny, really.
Given that we were playing them the following day.
Yeah, the little kid turned up and he's wearing an orange or amber top. And I was like, hang on a minute. And then, yeah, it's Barnet fan. But the guy could not have been any more complimentary about not only the Community Sports Trust, but the club in general. And I think he was making contrast to his own club, Barnet. And I think maybe some of the reputational views from the outside that many of us probably have of that their club compared to us, it was nice to hear that from an opposition fan, I must admit.
Absolutely fantastic. Thank you for that, Jeff. And something else that happened on Saturday was a huge achievement for the Youth Academy under-16s as they won the JPL Cup, beating Stourbridge 4-1 at Macclesfield FC. That was thanks to goals from Finn Thomas and a brace from Nathan. And the same team have the national final tomorrow as they play Oxford City at Gloucester. Can they win two trophies in the space of a week is the question. And this week, it's kind of a podcast debut, but it's kind of not, because this person sits behind the screen and does all the editing and lining everything up for these podcasts. He's something of an unsung hero. And yeah. He's making his debut in the podcast doing this interview with Neil Salmon on that JPL Cup win. Here's Josh Tindall catching up with Neil Salmon.
On Saturday, you won the JPL Cup, beating Stourbridge at Macclesfield. How good was that?
It was brilliant. It was a brilliant day out for players, for parents. It was a great event. It was, the celebrations were crazy. They've put in a lot of hard work over the year, and that's not just the players, that's the parents as well, because of all the travel that's involved. And it was a good reward for a lot of the work that we've done, but it's one step on our journey so far, and we have to keep looking forward.
Speaking about looking forward, you've got another final on Saturday. This is the National Pathway. You obviously progressed to the final last week, and you'll be facing Oxford City and Gloucester. How are you and the boys feeling ahead of that one?
Yeah, we're looking forward to it, and it's another type of challenge, one that at this kind of age group you don't always get. And we've had to calm them down. Like I said, they were very excited, and rightly so, after winning on Saturday. But we have to calm it down and get focused. And we trained last night and we made sure that we went through all the components that we need to, reminded ourselves that even though we've done, part of our target has been completed, but we've still got this game ahead. We're excited to be there, but we keep saying it's an opportunity, not an occasion. We need to implement all the things that we've done over the season, and we need to go in there as calm as we did on Saturday and realise that though we've deserved what we've got so far, everything else still has to be earned.
Brilliant. And just to finish, how important is the academy to Bromley Football Club?
Oh, it's huge. It's huge, especially these last couple of years, the way the club is developing, it's also happening within the academy as well. We see some of the players, you know, Liam going off to Portsmouth, Marcus playing in the first team, scoring that wonderful goal against Torquay on BT Sports, Jude's been a regular in the first team, and there's players behind the scenes now that could well follow in that pathway as well, and we're seeming to get more every year. So the club's growing, the academy's growing, the quality of players that we're developing is getting higher, and I'm hoping my under-16s, you know, a lot of them are coming in next year into the first year at academy, and I feel that a lot of them could make that same journey that Jude and Marcus's and Liam's have made. And I think even if you go into the under-14s as well, who are also being representing Bromley in a final on Saturday, I think there's some players in there that could make the same journey. So the academy is doing wonderful at the moment. It's really important that we keep producing our own players and we keep having our own players representing the first team.
Great to hear from the Salmon there, Neil Salmon.
Yeah, that's what he's known as, isn't it? The Salmon. What an absolute top gent. Involved with the under-23s. He's always slipping away. No, he's absolutely brilliant, Neil. He's a great character, a great person and a fantastic coach. It's great to catch up with him. So thank you for that, Josh. And obviously, Neil involved with a range of teams in this football club, from JPL to under-23s, and doing everything that he can to help support the club. And actually, he was a Bromley season ticket holder before he came a coach here.
Lovely, so, little story.
Yeah, great story with Neil. So absolutely brilliant. Moving on then to Sunday and Barnet away, which
I was going to apologise, but actually I chose not to go. It was one of those ones, and you know what, clearly we missed a great game in terms of goals.
Yeah, typical.
When the old Twitter was going off with it, it was absolutely fantastic. We were here for obviously the women's game on the stage, and we also had the under-16s beforehand, doing a treble winning under-16s, apologies, playing one of their final games of the season, and obviously we're setting up for the end of season awards. But obviously more on that later, Matt.
Yeah, absolutely. We weren't at the game. It was a 4-2 win for Bromley in the end. Goals from Mason Bloomfield against his former club, Louis Dennis with his first of the season, and further strikes from Ali Alhamadi and Michael Cheek.
King Ali.
Gave Bromley the 4-2 victory on the day. But as none of us were there, here's Harrison Eve, Bromley supporter and media assistant.
It's another debut.
Who was there. I think it is a debut for Harrison, yeah. Who was there on the day, and here's his account of what went on.
10 minutes into the match, Daniel Powell opened the scoring for the hosts, but 2 minutes later, Mason Bloomfield drew the Ravens level after Alhamadi saw his shot saved by the Barnet keeper. He was there to tap home to make it 1-1. Bromley continued to dominate the half, but the scores remained level going into the break. 4 minutes into the second half, Ali Alhamadi played the ball in for Louis Dennis, who converted from close range to give Bromley a 2-1 lead. 3 minutes later, the same duo were involved in the Ravens' third, as Dennis turned provider playing the ball into Alhamadi, who grabbed his third goal for the club to make it 3-1 to Bromley. Just under 20 minutes from time, Barnet's deficit was cut to 1 as Ben Richards Everton headed in from a corner. In the 80th minute, some great link-up play from Liam Trotter and Michael Cheek ended with the striker scoring his 17th league goal of the season to make it 4-2 to Bromley. Woodman's men saw out the 4-2 victory, a fantastic way to end the league campaign and a great bit of momentum to take into the trip to Wembley.
Great to hear from Harrison there, Matt.
Yeah, brilliant stuff. Thank you to Harrison for not only that, but for his help this season on the home matches, the away matches.
We all started somewhere.
Yeah, well, Harrison's been a Bromley fan for quite a few years now. He comes down to all the home games and helps us out on the media front. So big thank you to him for that. And obviously for almost covering the game for us, along with Alex, who was there to get the match reports and the interview on the day as well.
Meanwhile, back here, Matt, it was the Bromley women.
It was indeed, and what a game it was that they beat Comets 2-0 at Hayes Lane. A great crowd, I have to say, despite the really poor
weather. It was awful,
yeah,
wasn't it?
It was really, really horrible. But fantastic to see the Bromley ladies win another game. Another game, another win, and obviously the trophy presentation at the end was really special as well. And not only that, they were presented with their medals, which was brilliant for the individual players. The support of the families and some of the Bromley fans that came down to watch was brilliant.
And the trophy as well, fair play to everybody involved who made that happen, because usually it's handed over by a committee at an AGM, you know, a month later in some hall and stuff over a dinner. But I think it was David in the end? Dave and the Secretary of the League, I think, who managed to meet up somewhere on the other side of the M25, I believe, to make sure that trophy could be here for that Sunday. So yeah, absolutely fantastic effort from all involved. And it was just a really special moment, wasn't it? And I said, again, Andrea, the Wildcats from the community scheme as well. A lot of those girls attending their first game for the first time. And as mascots, it was great.
Absolutely fantastic, and obviously a massive thanks and well done goes out to Steve, to Dave, to Ian, the chairman, and of course all of the players and other staff involved with Bromley Ladies. It's been a phenomenal season and so much positivity, so much to build on for next season, and we look forward to continuing to see their progress.
Obviously, Matt, you was it yourself who managed to catch up with
Steve? It wasn't me, no.
No, okay, who was it? Well, we're going to hear from Steve Payne, the manager of the Bromley Women's team, and here's what he had to say.
Started out this season to try and get promoted with the league, and that was our main goal. We got sidetracked with one or two cup runs. As you may or may not know, we were in the first round of the FA Cup. We were the lowest ranked side that entered the FA Cup. We had three preliminary rounds, which we played Phoenix, I think. Then it was Maidstone. Then we had Hastings at home, which was a record attendance for Bromley Ladies match. And it was a great atmosphere. To be quite fair, probably got the ladies over the line. That got us into the first round proper the FA Cup. Then we drew QPR and got really and truly dealt with. Then we were in the Kent Cup. I thought personally we would have gone far in that. Fortunately for us, we drew the holders, Dartford, which beat us 3-1. We held our own. It was quite a good game, actually. And they actually went on to win the cup. So we got a bit sidetracked, but then we got back to what our main goals were, and that was to win the league. And we done that, thankfully. To the players, Dave, Ian. I've got to give a big mention to Jeff and Sue Whittaker, because Jeff's been there from the start, and Sue has got us out of some sticky situations, and I've got to thank them. I thank all the people behind the scenes, basically, because if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't have been able to do what we had to do. I mean, football is played out on the pitch, but there's a lot that goes on behind football that helps the players to do what they're doing. And I've also got to thank Beacon Hill Sports and Social Club for their sponsors. You know, it made the girls look, the kit and the stuff look good. So yeah, there's a lot of people behind the scenes, and there's a lot more people I like to thank behind the scenes for that league win, because it wasn't just players out there. I mean, they done the hard work, but behind the scenes means, so thank you Jeff, and thank you Sue Whittaker. Also, Robin, thank you for the hospitality in the Boomtown Bar. It was amazing, and I'll say it again, it was amazing to celebrate the end of season trophy night with the first team Bromley, and everybody, fans, coaches, everybody. It was just amazing night. Thank you, Bromley, and I am blessed to be managing Bromley Ladies and to be involved in Bromley Football Club. Thank you very much.
Moving on from that then, and a big thank you to Steve. Once again, a huge congratulations to the management team of Bromley Ladies and all of the players. What a fantastic season and what a fantastic effort. And it's brilliant to see, actually, and many of you will have seen this previously, that those efforts were recognised, along with the men's first team, at the club's first kind of all-in-one award evening, all sections of the club involved with it in some capacity. And it was brilliant to have the ladies team there as well, and for them to receive their awards at the same time as the men's first team. Congratulations to all of the players who got all of the awards. I'm sure all of you will have caught up on it previously. It was a fantastic evening, and thank you to all of you that came down, took advantage of the food, which was a lovely curry, I must say. And of course, a big shout out goes to the most coveted award of Bromley Football Club, and that's the supporters player of the season, Billy Bingham, and it was great to see Roy Oliver present that one as well. Moving on then, and the On The Road documentary began on our YouTube channel last week, and that started with Ronan the Raven's trip to our local sponsors, which went down really, really well. And it was great to see him get out and about in Bromley and get to so many of our different sponsors who are such an important part of life here at Bromley Football Club. And also, the documentary goes behind the scenes here at Hayes Lane. Interviews were filmed with our academy coaches, and we heard from Louis Dennis, and you can hear a little snippet of that interview now.
I think everyone's buzzing for it, because, I mean, like I said, it's different stages in people's careers. For me, who's maybe getting to the mid latter stages, you know, these occasions don't come around very often, so I've learnt to appreciate it, to sort of cherish the moment. So I'm really excited to, you know, just to be there, if I can get on the pitch. You know, everyone's fighting for their shirt, which keeps the environment competitive, because as much as it's a fantastic day for everyone, there's 11 shirts that are going to be going out there to start. It's going to be, you know, 5 or 7, however many there are on the bench. People are going to miss out, you know, and that's the side that maybe people don't see. You know, there's still a competitive edge out there. So the season is far from over.
The FA Trophy semi-final was a really special day for so many different reasons for the football club. Like you say, you came off the bench, made an impact. What was the feeling like celebrating with the supporters once again, celebrating, giving them the chance to go to Wembley?
Yeah, I mean, when the game started, you know, it wasn't a great start. But again, that shows the character we have in the team. At times, maybe we haven't showed it enough in the second half of the season, but I know in that dressing room the character that we've got, you know, and the feeling of getting over the line and getting to another final. We know that, you know, a final and losing is not what we want, but you can only take every game at a time, and to come on and have that impact was fantastic.
You've been to Wembley a few times. I know there are other players in the squad that have, but for a number of them, it will be the first opportunity. What was it like in the changing room afterwards?
Yeah, I mean, I sent it to one of the boys. I mean, the other day I was watching Tyson Fury versus Dillon White at Wembley, and I'm sitting there at home thinking, well, in a few weeks' time, we're going to be out there and it's going to be our day. So it is a massive occasion and a massive day for everyone. I think the feeling is you have to stay focused, because I think it's the occasion that drains you more than the game. You know, the build-up, the fact that we've been speaking about this now for since we got through in the semi-finals to now, that's all people are talking about. And for us, you can get drained by it, you know, so you have to switch off at times, you have to stay focused. And then afterwards, I think it's just looking back, and if you win, it's ultimate celebration. And if you lose, I think you just have to be proud of what you did do, you know.
Thank you to Louis for that. Tonight's episode is an in-depth interview with Andy Woodman. And for those that haven't seen it yet, here's a sneak peek for you.
What do you think it's going to be like when you're stood in the dugout, looking out to that massive stadium with, you know, thousands of Bromley supporters backing you?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. And I'm going to try and just take a moment to look at the people that have turned out for myself and my team and Bromley Football Club on the day. I'd love to be able to thank all of them. Obviously, I can't. Hopefully I can do that with the performance on the pitch. But it is a moment that I will, you know, really cherish. I'm hoping it's not going to be the pinnacle of my career as a manager. I'm hoping that. But, yeah, I look back on this year, you know, there was times and moments in this year where I could have left, and I didn't, and I felt it was the right decision to stay here. And I'm glad I have. You know, I still feel there's a lot more unfinished business to do at this football club. So, like, I come back to what I said at the very beginning. I'm extremely proud to be the manager of Bromley Football Club, and even more prouder to be leading them out of Wembley Stadium.
And the FA Trophy final, non-league's final day, hasn't been hosted at Wembley for a couple of seasons now because of COVID. It's going to be a really good showcase for this section of the football pyramid, but also just a fantastic day out for those that support the football club, those involved in the area as well. Does it all feel a little bit more real now as we're only a couple of days away?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely real, isn't it? I mean, you know, it's the mecca of football, isn't it, Wembley? So to go there, I was lucky enough to go there as a coach for Crystal Palace in the FA Cup final, as a player with Palace in the FA Cup final, and then played there twice in playoff finals. So I know, you know, I don't think there'll be a young boy in the country that doesn't dream of scoring his winning goal at Wembley or walking out of a team at Wembley. So all of those emotions, I'm no different. You know, all I've ever dreamt of is Wembley. And I just hope I can go, you know, that final hurdle and come off that Wembley pitch a winner.
Now, I've been non-stop talking for a reason, and that reason is that Jeff has unfortunately had to shoot away from the podcast for matters far more important than this. So I'm carrying on, but I do have not only Josh, who's sitting behind the computer here, I've got Alex Caroma, Operations Assistant for the Community Sports Trust. Alex, a podcast debut for you. Excited to be here?
Oh, I'm loving it. Thanks for that, Matt. Glad to be here, yeah.
Alex, you've only been with us since February in the Community Trust, but it's been a really, really busy few months, hasn't it? And I think probably the busiest part of that is the after-school clubs that we've launched. You've been a massive part of that, and you've had the pleasure of being at those pretty much every day of the week.
Yeah.
It's been a different week for the kids this week, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has been a different week. Obviously, we've been out in the schools as normal. Lovely stuff, just promoting ourselves as well, because we're going to Wembley. The kids have been loving it. Kids are glad. We've had them with the scarves as well, just promoting the trip. And yeah, they're actually quite pleased with it, and yeah, the session's been running smoothly, so we can't complain at all.
Well, they're all very excited, weren't they? I think it's clear to see. If those of you that haven't seen it, look on our socials at Bromley FC Trust. You can see the reactions of these kids as they're wishing the players good luck at Wembley and getting their good luck messages in, which is fantastic to see. Alex, I want to touch on one more thing with you as well. Obviously, you've only been with us since February. You've been able to experience the Bromley home match day on a few occasions.
Of course, yeah.
None more special, I would imagine, than that game against York in the semi-final. What a day that was for you, for all the other staff, and for the young ones as well. We saw their enjoyment at the end of the game.
Yeah, of course, absolute scenes, honestly. That was a beautiful day, beautiful win, and yeah, the vibes have just been absolutely amazing at the match days, and yeah, really glad to be here, honestly.
Well, we're going to hear a bit more from the York game shortly, but let's just recap the run to the FA Trophy final. Obviously, it all started at Dover Athletic. A win that day with a heavy presence of young players, under-23s, academy scholars. It was wonderful to watch them flourish in a first-team environment and win the game. Moving on then, it was Aldershot and a second win of the season at Aldershot following that victory in the league earlier on in the season. Then Tunbridge, that game that went to penalties. It was a 1-1 draw at the end of it, a late equaliser from Tunbridge Angels after Palace Francis had put Bromley ahead. A penalty shootout victory on that day. And then moving on to Solihull in the quarterfinals. One of the best, for me, one of the best Bromley performances of the season. Saw us win on that day as well, despite being a goal down. And then York City in the semi-final at Hayes Lane, backed by 1,000 people the away side. Here's how it went down on the day.
Yeah, by way, nothing given. Bennings has done well to win it back. And Cheek plays it into the lobby, plays it back into Cheek. And Cheek is in.
Cheek into the
Cheek
box.
Is in.
Cheek goes for the goal. And Michael Cheek equalises for Bromley. What a goal that is! A brilliant pass. Michael Cheek going one-on-one with the goalkeeper and finishing. And Bromley a level, Dan. Game on.
No, that's what it needed. Michael Cheek into James Alabi. Michael Cheek carried on his run. And Michael Cheek composed finish with his left foot under the legs of the York keeper down the middle of the goal. And Bromley a level.
Now Bush. Bush with the scoop ball forwards looking for Dennis. Bodies arriving in the box. Louis Dennis taking on Coogan. Shift it onto his left, ball into the box, it's a great ball. Cheek!
Yeah! And Michael Cheek knocked Bromley in front. It was a brilliant ball from Louis Dennis, and Michael Cheek gets it at the back post, heading home, and Bromley have the lead, Dan.
Brilliant, brilliant ball into the box, brilliant footwork from Louis Dennis, cut back on his left foot, kick over to the back post. It was either going to be Cheek or Alabi, and a downward header. And Jameson had no chance in the York goal. A brilliant finish for the Bromley number 9. He's always good at heading.
Number 11 and Brown going up top alongside Donaldson and Willoughby.
Dan, crunch time in these 4 minutes of additional time that are left. We've had a minute. Here come Bromley as the ball's given away. Here's Alabi. Opportunity to run at York here. James Alabi into the box. Still Alabi. Can he go for the shot? Lift it.
James Alabi finishes York City off, and Bromley are going to Wembley. Bromley are going back to Wembley, and it's James Alabi who seals it in injury time. Bromley 3, York City 1. What a goal!
Brilliant goal. He drove at the York man. He got lucky with the ricochet into his path, left foot under the keeper's legs into the top right hand corner, and Bromley have surely sealed it now.
In addition to the pop-up at the Glades that we spoke about earlier on in the episode, we've had another pop-up, and that's been here at Bromley Football Club in Broomfields, to be specific. And I'm looking back at the photos and how the week's gone in Broomfields, and it's fair to say that the Ravens chat boys and girls really enjoyed the pop-up and took full advantage of it, buying their polos and hats and whatnot, and scarves as well. You can see some photos of our brilliant Ravens chat group over on our socials at Bromley FC Trust. It really is worth a look. And just a heads up, while we're on the theme of Broomfields, it will be closed on Sunday. But huge thank you to all of you that supported that pop-up, coming in to get your Wembley merchandise. I did manage to pop down from the office and get one of the final remaining shirts, which I'm actually really pleased about. It is a momentous occasion, and certainly wanted a memento of that as well. So Broomfields will be closed on Sunday when we do make the trip to Wembley, and over 11,000 of you will be travelling and joining us for that one. Big thank you to South Eastern Railway for putting on additional trains to London Victoria on the day. Alex, looking forward to it?
Looking forward to it. I'll be taking train that day as well. Hopefully get in with the fans as well, make hard journey over. It's buzzing. It's going to be a good day.
It's going to be some atmosphere, isn't it, Alex? Honestly. And if you can just provide us the final details on that.
Yep, so kickoff is going to be at 4:15. I know Ticketmaster might have said that they are going to be at 4:30. That's just an error on their side. But yep, 4:15 Sunday, ready to go. Hopefully we bring it home. Looking forward to it. Come on, you Ravens.
And thank you to each and every one of you, not only that are joining us on Sunday, but a big thank you to those of you who have joined us along the journey. I must shout out Lee Johnson, who's been a Bromley fan for a number of years. I had quite a few good away days with Lee back in the day. And Lee is unfortunately not able to make the game due to illness. So Lee, best wishes. I know following it on the TV won't be quite the same, but your support will need it nonetheless. So thank you so much for all your support over the years, Lee. I'm sorry you can't be there on Sunday, but hopefully you managed to follow it on the old box. That's it from us. Alex, thank you for your podcast debut. Did you enjoy that?
Thank you for having me. Yeah,
bit unexpected, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. But that's what it is with this club. On the spot, and you've got to be ready to.
That's it. Absolutely. Thank you to Alex. Thank you to Jeff, obviously, for joining me earlier on in the episode. Thank you to all of you for tuning in, putting up with us. Take care, and we'll see you at Wembley. Champions of the Champions League. You could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me, and that's the town where I